If you have your Bible, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. It says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Worship demands our all. Yeah, I remember I was holding a revival at Star City at the Yorktown Free Will Baptist Church a number of years ago. And there was a fellow that the church had been praying for that he'd get saved. Well, Monday night rolled around. Well, I was Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Monday night. And I think it was on a Tuesday night, if I remember correctly, we gave the invitation. In fact, if I remember right, I didn't even give the invitation. But I went down to the front and was getting ready to give the invitation, and all of a sudden this fellow got up out of his seat and ran by me and went to the altar. I never really had that happen before, you know. And so instead of going ahead and finishing up the sermon, you know, I kind of tidied it up and tied it in a knot and, you know, gave the invitation. And I kept waiting for the pastor to go and talk to him, you know, counsel with him. And so anyway, I was continuing to give the invitation, and I started to go to him. About that time, he got up. And he started walking back down the aisle, and the pastor asked him, "Did you get it?" He said, "I got it." You know, when you worship, when you go into the house of God, you can feel the presence of the Lord. It's not always just what the preacher says, it's how God deals with the heart that makes the difference. In fact, the Bible tells us we're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. God wants all of you. He doesn't want just part of you. He wants everything about you. He doesn't want the crumbs of your life. He wants all of you. And I'll say about this man that went to the altar, God called him to preach. His last name was Ashcraft. But God called him to preach the gospel. And the last time I heard, he was still preaching down in the Saline Association, Star City, and so forth. When God does something, he does a thorough job. And I have come and I have been in services when you could feel the presence of God and folks in the congregation were moved. They could feel God moving in their own lives. And they have such a powerful presence of the Lord. I've also been in services when it was dry. Things just weren't going well. People wasn't paying any attention. They were looking at their watch to see what time it was. The preacher's going too long. And if I've got a choice, I want that kind of service where I can feel the presence of the Lord. And I can see others feeling the same presence of the Lord. A Samaritan woman once tried to debate Jesus on the best time, the best place, and the best style of worship. Jesus replied that these two externals are irrelevant. Where you worship is not as important as why you worship and how much of yourself you give to God when you do worship. How much you give to God. You see, God wants all of us, doesn't he? Not just a part of us. He wants all of us. And when we come into the house of God, we need to come humbly before him, submitting our all. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Now, living sacrifice is one that can crawl off the altar. And I can tell you, being a pastor for all these years, I've seen folks get saved and want to live on the altar of God, wanted to be faithful and serve him. And then I've seen them also kind of crawl off the altar. But I want you to know that this morning, the most precious thing that we can do is to dedicate ourselves to the Lord, put our lives on the altar, keep them there, and let God honor and bless his name through our life. Well, God is pleased when our worship is accurate. People often say, I like to think of God as, and then they put their own spin or own interpretation on how they view God and what kind of worship God would like for them to have. Well, I can tell you this morning that we cannot create our own comfortable and self-styled deities and worship it, because that's an idol. That's an idol. How we know how to worship is right here in this book. We need to look into the Word of God, and it will give us what God expects out of all of our lives. Worship must be based on the truth of the Scripture, not our opinions of or about God. Jesus told the Samaritan woman that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for this is the kind of worshipers that the Father wants to worship him. Now, we're made in God's image. We are a spirit. We have a spirit, and we know that God is spirit. And he made us aware that we can communicate our spirit to his spirit. God wants to tell us how he wants us to live and serve, and he communicates, and we can communicate with him if we let him. When Jesus said, love God with all your heart, he meant that worship must be genuine and heartfelt. It is not a matter of saying the right words. You see, you want to say that which comes from the heart. Now, I know sometimes people ask me, Carl, are you opposed to somebody saying praise the Lord or hallelujah? No. I want it to be heartfelt. I want it to be of the Lord. But when an individual is blessed of God, they can show that by just saying praise the Lord. Some just raise their hands, whatever. But we need to come into the house of God and recognize the presence of God. He is in this place, and we are simply his creatures. Individuals that are saved by grace. God pulled us up out of the bondage of sin, washed us white as snow, and we come in every Sunday to worship God. Worship him. Put him first in our life, and then we go out to serve and make a difference. Well, don't forget the purpose of worship. Because it is possible to go to church and not really worship. In fact, the Bible tells us about two men who went to church. One was a Pharisee, the other was a publican. And they went to the temple to pray. And you would think that if anybody is going to pray and pray a beautiful prayer and get in touch with God, it would be this Pharisee that was a teacher of the law. He was one that knew the scriptures. But the Bible said that the publican went to the altar, got over in the corner, and he smote upon his chest. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that Pharisee that went there to pray didn't pray. But he said, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. I'm not like them. And I'm sure not like this publican over here. Now, which one went home received of the Lord? You see, when a person comes to worship God in the right manner, God will bless that person. Amen. I'm convinced this morning that when we come into the house of God, we need to remember one thing. It is God's house. It is God's house. We come in to worship Him. This is His house. We reverence it. We respect the house of God because He is here. He is in this place. Well, does this have any bearing upon our own lives? Do we feel perfectly satisfied in our own hearts and lives with the worship that we give to God? Do we feel like that what we're doing is what God wants and God expects of us? I'm telling you, we need to take time to study the scriptures and let God speak to our heart, and then we analyze through the scripture if we're acceptable in the sight of God. Sometimes we come to church and we feel like that, well, I'm drawing so close to the Lord that, you know, I don't need to really hear the sermon. I don't need to draw any closer to God. And sometimes we get a lofty opinion of ourselves. But I'm here to tell you, we're all just servants in the house of the Lord. And anytime we get an inch off the floor in our spiritual lives, we're an inch too high. You see, the scripture tells us that we are to bend our knees, bow our hearts to Him, and we are to allow Him to have control of our hearts and lives. You know, sometimes we come to the house of God and we too forget to pray. And we go to pray, but we don't pray. We go to worship, but we really don't worship. And we go in and we hear the sermons, we hear the songs, and we enjoy the service, and we go out and we shake the preacher's hand and we say, preacher, it was a good service today. And then for the all purposes, that's all that we do all week. Well, I ask the question, is God pleased with your worship? Kind of reminds me of the song that says, Onward Christian Soldiers. And there's a parody that is given to this song. Let me read it to you. It said, backward Christian soldiers fleeing from the fight with the cross of Jesus clearly out of sight. Christ, our rightful master, stands against the foe, but forward into battle, we're chicken to go. Like a mighty tortoise moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where we've always trod. We are much divided, many bodies we, having different doctrines, not much charity. Crowns and thorns or thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus hidden does remain. Gates of hell should never against the church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, but think that it will fail. Sit here then, you people. Join our useless throng. Blend with ours your voices in a feeble song. Blessings, ease, and comfort are from Christ the King. With all faithless thinking, we won't do a thing. There was a lady, her name was Gladys Allward, and she was in China during the Second World War, and the Japanese were advancing on where she had their mission. And she had 100 Japanese or Chinese missionary children that she was responsible for, and she was trying to get them out of danger. And so they got up and they left and then went away from the advancing armies. And she despaired that they were not going to be able to save themselves and the children. And a young 13-year-old girl reminded her of Moses and the Red Sea. She said, "Don't you remember how that Moses led the children of Israel across the Red Sea and how God parted the waters?" And she said, "But I'm not Moses." To which she said, "But God is still God. God is still God." I'm telling you, whatever we want to do in the name of the Lord, if it is scriptural, God will bless us and he'll let us have the power to accomplish what he set out for us to do. I remind you this morning that the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. The heart of worship is a matter of the heart. Do you love him this morning? Do you love him with all your heart this morning, knowing that one day the Lord's going to come back? And really, I don't know of a better day than on the Lord's day for the Lord to split the eastern sky and take his children home. You see, one day soon, and it seems like everybody's talking about anymore the coming of the Lord and the fact that Jesus Christ, his coming is soon. You see things happening in the Middle East. You see things happening all around the world. And you see the degradation in sin, even in America, the last bastion of truth and of the church. I don't know when he's coming, but I know he's coming. I don't know if it'll be today or tomorrow, this year, next year, but I know he's coming. I know. I want to be ready, and I want to remind folks that come to church here that we're going to account to God one day when he comes back the second time. We stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to examine our stewardship. We want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But coming into the house of God, this is not just another place. It's God's house. We come in and we reverence him. And we see him high and lifted up. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And I bow down before him this morning because he's my king. He's my Lord. And I love him. I love him. I pray that all of us will draw closer to God. And by coming to this place and worshiping together, locking arms together, that we can all say, "We love you, Lord. We love you." And let's do everything we can to help others to come in, that they too can know him And to know him is to love him. To know him is to love him. Bow with me.